Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Mondays. Big weekend. Met a ton of you at the Kentucky Derby. Phenomenal time. We got a lot to dive into. Going to go fast here because I'm going to be on with Martha McCollum at the bottom of the hour on Fox News shortly. In the meantime, get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball season. They even offer injury insurance. Your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball, that means if a player doesn't come back, boom, you're in good shape. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, enormous selection of players and stat types. That is what players, what everybody loves about Prize Picks and makes it the number one fantasy sports app on the planet. Personally, I love all this gameplay. You're going to like it as well. Download the app. Use the code OUTKICK for a first deposit match up to $100. Code OUTKICK on Prize Picks. First deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Boom, we got a lot to run into and run through. The Tom Brady roast, SEC schools on fire, Trump serenaded at F1, Christy Noem with an absolutely devastating own goal, my trip to the Kentucky Derby, 35-year viewership high there, phenomenal triple close race finish. But I want to start with something that I would encourage all of you to go watch. I would imagine that most of you are Netflix subscribers. I would also imagine that a lot of you are super busy and totally were not aware that the Tom Brady roast was going on last night on Netflix. It was live. Kevin Hart hosted it. I'll be honest with you, I missed probably the first 25 or 30 minutes. I mentioned that I liked the Beckham documentary. I was watching the Beckham 4-episode documentary. I was finishing that with my wife. When we finished the 4th episode, we saw that the roast was going on. We flipped over, and it was fantastic. And I honestly can't believe that Tom Brady allowed it to happen. Bill Belichick was there. Julian Edelman, Randy Moss, Rob Gronkowski, even Drew Bledsoe. Lots of interesting jokes were said. Many different comedians out there who did a fantastic job. What I couldn't get over as I watched it was this is a signature statement that the woke culture is dead in sports. I thought it was the biggest takeaway. White guys, black guys, Jewish guys, Asian guys, Hispanic guys, and gals, Kim Kardashian. Everybody was made fun of equally, and it felt like the best days of comedy were returning. Jerry Seinfeld recently came out and said, "Woke scolds on the left have killed comedy." I've talked about on this show quite a lot. Can you even remember the last great movie comedy that you saw in the theaters? I mean something that really had you belly laughing. Like, I'm just tossing out a couple of comedies, Superbad, or There's Something About Mary in the 90s, or Ace Ventura, which you could never make today because of the trans jokes that would be included there. Woke culture and being afraid of offending people destroyed comedy when it comes to movies. Stand-up has maintained some of that art form, and I give credit to Dave Chappelle, who just stared down what was considered to be acceptable or not in his Netflix special. And I think a lot of people have followed him. The world of sports hasn't necessarily. Last night was outrageously funny and also outrageously offensive. Many of the jokes that Tom Brady made, offensive. Many of the jokes that Kevin Hart made, offensive. Many of the jokes that Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman and others made were offensive. And my God, that was why so many people loved it. I, again, can't believe Tom Brady did it. He got roasted over the Giselle situation. He seemed to only get upset with Jeffrey Ross once when there was a joke made about Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick ended up doing shots together. Universally, I think everybody thought that the jokes were decent, with the exception of Ben Affleck, who came out and was not very good. And honestly, I didn't think Will Ferrell in the character of Ron Burgundy was very good. And obviously, the standard for athletes, Randy Moss wasn't great, but he's not a stand-up comedian. Gronk kind of got lost. Edelman was probably the best alongside of Drew Bledsoe. Brady was very good. Peyton Manning was pretty solid. He came out at the end. If you didn't watch it, I would encourage you to go watch it. And I think if you're around my age, if you grew up in the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, you will watch it and you will think to yourself, hallelujah, after a generation in the woke wilderness, it feels like we are starting to win battles to restore sanity. And I'll point out, you notice how almost no athlete has been outspoken yet about the 2024 election, even in the NBA. There's nobody out there that I'm seeing. Greg Popovich mostly seems shut up. Steve Kerr, LeBron James, Adam Silver. Maybe they're all because they're negotiating the NBA rights deal, which I wrote about and I'm kind of fascinated by. There's a long-form piece from me up on OutKick if you want to go read that. I do think that there is a recognition that the idea of social justice warriordom and the idea of sports becoming politics by any other name, that it's given up the ghost and sane people are starting to take it back over. And I loved it. Comedy should be, in the words of South Park, which has remained true to this, offensive evenly to everyone. Whether you're gay, whether you're straight, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, we cannot have sacred cows that are not allowed to be joked about. And even Brady made a 9/11 joke. Didn't anticipate it. I thought it was phenomenal. And here's the thing. Any one of those jokes historically would have turned into massive stories. So far as I can tell, everyone seems to have liked it. And the losers on the woke left, all of the school marms in sports media, I haven't even seen anybody utter a negative word about it. Why is that? I think because OutKick is winning. And I also think because all of those woke losers, they recognize that they are now not the majority. With Elon Musk buying Twitter, I think they don't get the pile on that they used to, where they're able to argue, oh my God, somebody made a joke about Tom Brady being gay. This is totally unacceptable. Oh my God, a white guy made a joke about a black person. This is totally unacceptable. I think their world is collapsing. I think we are winning. And I think it ties in with why Trump is rising and why, as I read this morning, so credit to Tom Brady for fighting that battle and doing what I believe was a really good job of being willing to take a lot of tough punches. I'll be honest with you. There were a lot of jokes where I was like, ooh. And a lot of them were at Brady's expense. Now, Belichick got hit with some. Gronk got hit with a ton. There was certainly shrapnel enough to go around. But Brady did not come off easy here. He did not get off easy. I thought he did a good job at the end, but I would encourage all of you to go watch it. I think it was a signature moment of sports returning to normalcy and of comedy coming back and saying, hey, we're going to win this. And, you know, that's the first time I've seen it in connection with sports. A couple of things out there that I think ties in. I mentioned I was reading Axios this morning, and they had a story up about 200. This is crazy. 244 million Americans are going to be eligible to vote. 99.5% of us won't be deciders. That includes your boy here. I've said I'm going to vote for Trump. I live in Tennessee. Trump's going to win by 20. Where are the 0.5% who will decide? Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those are the six battlegrounds that are true toss-ups. North Carolina, not really in play right now. Feels like that's a Trump win. Trump, actually, the team argued on Friday that they think they can expand the battleground and add in Minnesota and Virginia as states that could be difference makers. Democrats don't think that's true. They say that Trump's not going to be able to win either of those states. But here is something I thought was interesting from Axios AM. In our private conversations, I'm reading from them, Democrats are a lot more worried about November than Republicans are. Democrats say the race is winnable, emphasized. Republicans think they're winning. The swing state map, big reason why. So a tiny percentage, 6% of voters in just six states, 0.5% of the overall electorate is going to decide whether Trump or Biden wins. A couple of other things that are out there. I mentioned the Brady roast felt like a big win for sports returning to sanity. I also think the way that the SEC schools responded to the anti-Israel protesters on their campus have guaranteed that SEC applications are going to skyrocket. You may have seen the Trump team released a video featuring frat guys from North Carolina and other locations in the South. The Southern frat guy has emerged all over the Southern, Southeast United States. North Carolina, obviously an ACC school, but the Southern frat guys there holding up the American flag as they were pelted with insults and derision started all of this. But you've seen all over the SEC, LSU, Ole Miss, among others, you have seen in Alabama, SEC students show up and counter-protest against the anti-Israel protesters. Whereas Columbia is canceling their graduation, Southern Cal is canceling their graduation, New York City and LA, there are lots of encampments that have taken over in many different locations around the country. It's not happening in the red states. Why? Because I would submit to you that SEC schools and Southern state schools in particular, people who go there can still see the difference between right and wrong. This is a base of OutKick. It's where I started OutKick in terms of covering the SEC from a football perspective. It's why we still have a massive audience in all of those locations. Even as OutKick has grown, we are over-indexed in the Southern United States because of where we started. A big audience everywhere now, but the SEC has always been the foundation of OutKick. And I got to tell you, I'm proud as a double SEC alum. I've got double graduate degrees from Vanderbilt. I'm very proud by what I've seen from current SEC students and also seen from former SEC students on these campuses. They just haven't allowed things to get out of control. And I think that speaks to why this is the best possible advertisement for the SEC. It used to be, and I've talked about this, when I left to go to George Washington University, which has crazy protests underway right now, you could get into the University of Tennessee if you had a pulse. It was almost impossible not to get into Tennessee, not to get into Alabama, not to get into Ole Miss. And the idea that anybody who lived in New York or California would want their kid to go to an SEC school was crazy. These were very provincial, local schools. And now they are deluged with applications from all over the country because a lot of kids have decided, one, you can get a great education anywhere, and that's true. Two, the weather, the fun, the girls of the SEC defeats all of these other places. Why would you want to go to school in the Northeast where the weather's crappy? Why would you want to go to school in a Big Ten location where for 6 months out of the year, you can't even go anywhere without wearing a big coat? My wife is funny in this respect. She went to the University of Michigan. She came down. We met at Vanderbilt Law School. She's a Vanderbilt lawyer. I'm a Vanderbilt lawyer. She said she just didn't know any better. So when you grow up in awful weather, you just don't necessarily know how much better the weather is other places. You come down to the South for August, September, October, November, the whole first semester, by and large, on many SEC campuses, the weather's really good. Then you go away for Christmas and New Year's on your break, and by the time you come back, it's late January. By March, in a lot of these places, the weather's starting to turn, so you got like 6 weeks of bad weather, whatever it is. You get into April and May, it's fantastic. You can go away to a lot of these northern schools in the Northeast and in the Big Ten, and the weather's crappy for like 75% of the time that you're going to be there. Why would you put up with that? Weather's better. Fun is better. Education is better. People know the difference between right and wrong, which makes mom and dad happy. Girls are way better looking. I'm going to just be honest with you. Go to an SEC campus on a Saturday and look at the number of gorgeous girls walking around in sundresses going to a college football game. I think we're seeing a major cultural shift where in the past, you might have wanted your kids to go to a Northeast school. I think there's a lot of people out there that are done with it. They're saying, why would I send my kid there? Why would I pay $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year when you start to factor in room and board when I can send my kid to an SEC school? They can get a great education. They can have a fabulous time. And the difference is not in cost is actually way more affordable. I think this was an incredible time for SEC schools. I really do. Trump was at the F1 over the weekend. I'm going to talk about the Kentucky Derby where I was over the weekend. Trump was serenaded by fans at F1. And I've just got a simple question for you. Just a very simple question. Could Joe Biden attend any sporting event in America and be cheered there almost universally? We know Trump goes to UFC. We know he goes to a lot of college football games. I've seen him there. We saw what just happened at F1. Is there anywhere? Now, there are places that would boo Trump. I'm not pretending that if Donald Trump went to the Washington Nationals, or maybe if he went to the New York Yankees, or he went to a Boston Red Sox game. I'm not saying they might not boo him there, right? There certainly are sporting events where Trump would get booed. Is there anywhere, though, that Biden would be cheered? I don't think people would cheer Joe Biden at a Yankees game. I don't think they would cheer him at a Red Sox game. I don't think they would cheer him at a Chicago Cubs game. I'm trying to think of blue cities and blue states. I don't think they would cheer him at an LA Dodgers game. Again, Trump might get booed some places. I'm not disputing that. Is there any sporting event Joe Biden could go to where everybody there would cheer him? MLS soccer game? I don't know. WNBA game? NBA game? I don't think he would. I don't think he would get cheered like Trump does at the UFC or at F1 recently or at many college football games. I think if Joe, what's the biggest game coming up in the SEC football season? Obviously, you're adding Texas and you're adding Georgia. Let's say, I think the Georgia game is at Texas. LSU, let's say, I believe the game at LSU, Alabama is going to be a big one. There's a lot of them. If Joe Biden went to the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama, he would get booed into oblivion. If he went to the Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville, the entire stadium would rain down boos upon him. Texas A&M, I think the stadium, even though Texas has some left-wingers, I think the stadium would rain down boos upon him. I don't think there is a stadium in the South. He went to a Braves game. Oh, my goodness. The boos would rain forth like crazy. I don't think Joe Biden could go anywhere in the South and not get booed, but I don't think he could go anywhere in the country and get cheered for a sporting event. Is it indicative of how the election's going to go? Not necessarily, but I think it starts to give you a little bit of an indication about how things are going out there. Georgia at Bama, huge game. All right, there's your answer. Probably the biggest game that we would expect. Georgia at Bama, universal booing for Joe Biden, universal cheering for Trump. I went to the 150th Kentucky Derby over the weekend. 35-year viewership high. Most watched Kentucky Derby since 1989. My horse, Forever Young, lost by literally like a nose. Triple finish, almost on the exact same time. Closest triple finish since 1947. You had to stand around for a few minutes. Couple of things here. Thanks to Julie Talbot, who has been my boss at Fox Sports Radio, and now is my boss with Buck Sexton on Clay and Buck. I appreciate she and her husband, Michael, hosting us. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Amazing time. I met so many of you all over the Derby. There's 150,000 people there. What a huge, fantastic party. I met so many of you there. We were sitting near where the owners are in the boxes, near the finish line. I posted some video and pictures. I think on Twitter, not as many, but I did post a couple of things. More on Instagram, where I tend to post photos more frequently. It was, I think, really, really interesting as an experience. And I was looking at that 35-year high in ratings, and I thought to myself, why is this going on? I think it's the prevalence of sports gambling. I think the prevalence of sports gambling is skyrocketing the popularity of many sports, basically everything but the WNBA. New records getting set. I think it also ties in with the Tom Brady experience. I think there's a desperate craving for Americans to come together. The era of divisiveness, I think, is starting to move behind us, that woke divisiveness. To me, the campus protests in favor of Hamas and against Israel are sort of the last desperate gasp of this left-wing, pro-men pretending to be women, anti-Israel, white people are evil, and that's how we see the world. I think it's collapsing around us. I think OutKick has been fighting this battle for a long time. I think the tide has turned in our direction. We got to pour on more steam, as General Nealon used to say back in the day. If at first, I'm paraphrasing, the battle goes against you, add on more steam. Look, I've been in this fight for a decade, and we're adding more steam. OutKick keeps growing. I think we're starting to win the tides of the culture here. Sports gambling, though, is a big part of it. I think people just want to share experiences. Women love to dress up. They like the social experience of things. Big groups of people want to come together again. And I think in a streaming era, we've all been sliced and diced to a huge extent where the Super Bowl set all-time records. Caitlin Clark and women's college basketball set all-time records. First and second round of the men's NCAA tournament set all-time records. College football set an all-time record for viewership this year. Now the Kentucky Derby on an absolute killer streak, 35-year viewership high. Sports are turning into sports again. Sanity is starting to prevail, and everybody, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, gay, straight, male, female, they all want to come together. And I think the Kentucky Derby is a perfect approximation of that. Sports gambling makes people care more. Gives you a little bit more at stake, but it also is just really fun. And I think in the wake of COVID, people crave fun. They want to laugh, want to come together and have a good time. I think that's why sports are starting to grow in a big way and why you're seeing so many people come together and enjoy them. And even the wokest sports out there for instance, the NBA, they are actually making the decision to basically stay quiet. Overall betting on the Kentucky Derby, record 320.5 million, more than 50 million nearly increase there, 38 change, 38 million more dollars bet-ish over last year. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait till California and Texas actually become officially legal. Now, to be fair, I always said, you know, I went to the Kentucky Derby for the first time in my 20s, and I was on the infield. And then I went as a writer and covered it about 14 years ago. I believe this was the third time I have been to the Kentucky Derby. And I went entirely as a fan this time. But it's interesting to see the way that it's evolved, the number of celebrities who show up, the experience itself. It's really pretty awesome. And you don't even have to care very much about horse racing, but I remember being in the media there and seeing the way that it was set up and thinking to myself, my goodness, it's crazy that you can bet on all of these horses, that there's no issue at all with betting on horse racing 14 years ago when I went, but you couldn't bet on anything else. I remember thinking, like, there is literally a betting window in the media room, so you don't have to stand in line for too long. The writers can bet on the horse racing. And I remember thinking how crazy it was. All right. When we come back, I will dive into tomorrow and get hooked up. I've got to go hop on with Martha McCollum's show on Fox News right now. Appreciate all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP, you can see me on Fox News in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to dive into this Kristi Noem story. I didn't get to it today. It's just crazy to me. This idea that she claimed to meet Kim Jong-un, the whole dog shooting business. She is crazy in the way that she has handled this. I think she has lit herself on fire, one of the biggest own goals in the modern era. And we'll talk about that when we come back tomorrow. This has been Outkick, the show. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I'm on Fox News now. See you guys in a few there.